In Jesus' name, dear fellow students of the Word, I know for sure that none of us here are dispensable. All of us here are dispensable. All of us here are dispensable. But I wonder how many are from Minnesota. Can you raise your hand? How many are Dakotans? Washingtonians? Michiganders? Wisconsinites? Elamites? No Elamites? Well, there were Elamites in Jerusalem on Pentecost. We're reading once again in the book of Acts, this time from the second chapter. Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia? Who were the Elamites anyway? Do you remember? That one takes us all the way back to the flood. After Noah and his family came off the ark, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, began to raise families. Two of the sons of Shem were Arphaxad and Elam. Arphaxad's descendants included Terah and Abraham. Elam's descendants were the Elamites and included the king of the Elamites, Chedorlaomer. When Chedorlaomer was king of the Elamites, they controlled the land east of Palestine in what today is Persia, or later became Persia. In fact, the Elamites' capital was Susa, which later was the capital of Persia. For 12 years, Chedorlaomer ruled a number of city-states near the mouth of the Jordan River. In the 13th year, five of those cities, including Sodom and Gomorrah, rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer, king of the Elamites, and three other kings descended on those rebellious cities and carried them off. As you remember, Abraham's nephew Lot was among those. When Abraham learned of it, he took his household servants, armed them, and went off and defeated Chedorlaomer, the Elamites, and his three allies, and rescued Lot and all the others. So even though they shared a common ancestor, Shem, Abraham and Chedorlaomer were enemies. That defeat, by the way, was not the end of the Elamites. We hear of them later terrorizing large sections of the Mideast. Perhaps one of the things that made them so successful was their archery. There are several references in Scripture to their skill with quivers and bows, and also with chariots. Perhaps there were times when Elamites would come to mind when an Israelite sang the 91st Psalm, "You will not feel the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day." There were Elamites among those people that were brought in to fill the void when the northern 10 tribes were carried off into exile. And they were among those who tried to stop the returning Jews from rebuilding the temple. Down through the years, the Elamites were traditional enemies of the Jews. And yet on Pentecost Day, there were Elamites among those who were attracted by the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There were Elamites whose attention was riveted on the small band of disciples upon whom rested something like tongues of fire. There were Elamites who heard in their own native language the wonderful works of God. Among the 3,000 baptized that day, there could easily have been Elamites. And when they scattered again to their homes after the festival, they would have been carrying the good news of Jesus back to the ancient land of Persia. Unlike the scattering of the Tower of Babel after the flood, this scattering would bring people, even ancient enemies, together in Christ Jesus. Are you an Elamite? Well, you and I were both born dead in trespasses and sins, enemies of God. Like the rest, Paul writes to the Ephesians, we were by nature objects of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2. It was Jesus, continuing to do and to teach, who sent His Holy Spirit and brought all those people together on Pentecost. And it is the same Lord who by His Word has gathered you all here today. He has brought together Jew and Gentile in Jesus, and He has united us with fellow believers from many different backgrounds. Some maybe even rivals, different localities. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3. So what shall we say to this? Not only has Christ united us with God, forgiven our sins, given us eternal life, but He has also not left us to be alone. He has set the solitary in families and brought us together into the family of Christ. If you have a Christian friend here at Emmanuel, it's no accident. It is a gift of God. Of course, we can see also that joining in unchristian activities will not build Christian friendship. But in connection with Christ, the dividing wall of hostility between people is broken down. Since He is our shepherd and we lack nothing, we can afford to forget self and to look out for the interests of others, the essence of friendship. Elamites, you may not long remember. Thank God He remembered them and us. We sing hymn 464, the first four stanzas.